Welcome to this week's episode of Dylan's Vlog and Podcast. Thank you for joining. Thank you for downloading this week's episode. As you know, I do this once a week to share a little bit about what's going on in my world, being responsible for a portfolio of businesses, as well as share some knowledge about things that I'm learning, things that I'm discovering, in hopes that I can connect with other entrepreneurs and learn from them and try to maybe help them with their business, as well as just explore some of my own thinking around the topics or the challenges that I'm facing inside of my portfolio of businesses. And so this week I'm going to be talking about cash. Cash is one of those topics that every entrepreneur should spend a lot of time thinking about, probably does spend a lot of time thinking about, but I'm going to add a dimension to the conversation or to the internal dialogue today that as an entrepreneur should really help you understand what you need to be looking at when you're looking at your cash. But before I get into that, I thought I'd share a couple of updates about what's going on in my world. In an attempt to grow our portfolio of businesses, you may have heard me speak on prior episodes about our on-demand labor service, and it looks like we have cemented a deal with an individual, and I imagine we'll make the announcement here in the next week or so, but we have found someone who has agreed to be the president and CEO of the business, and we are currently in the process of putting together a small team that will work with this individual to help take this idea out of incubation, as it's been in the last couple of months, and really bring it to the marketplace. And we've spent quite a bit of time trying to dial down and get right down into the weeds in terms of what our goals and our milestones are over the next 18 to 24 months. And as an entrepreneur, it was interesting to go through the exercise because as the founder, I have visions of grandeur in my mind about what this idea is capable of doing. I know that I myself don't have the skill set to take it to through the machinery that the idea needs to go through to come to the marketplace. There are other people that have done that before. We have found someone who has done it repeatedly, and we're very excited about what that could look like. And so as we went through the exercise of taking our strategy and taking my vision and parsing it down into bite-sized chunks, it was just a great reminder that if, as an entrepreneur, you need to do these things, you need to say to yourself, what is our plan here? What are we working towards? And at first it sounds, it can sound very overwhelming and very daunting. I'm an entrepreneur that likes to talk. I like to think big. I generally am optimistic and contrarian by nature. So I'm constantly looking to figure out what the problem is and then have an immediate response to it. But not everyone works like that. And that's a good thing, because what it does is it forces you to really think through execution. And when your feet are held to the fire, and I have to take a big vision of grandeur and break it into something that is measurable and something that can be worked towards as a milestone, there's lots of good conversation that comes out of it. So as a matter of fact, after a big strategy session yesterday, I spent the evening making sure that what I had roughly thought in my head I could support specifically with statistics, with industry and market information. And part of my challenge is I find some of that stuff a little wishy-washy, because you can make numbers say whatever you want. So it wasn't so much the numbers as much as it was the thinking that goes into understanding how do we support our business plan. We are going to be looking to raise money, maybe through one or two rounds. And so we have to have a really great story to tell. But part of telling a great story is not just sharing the vision, but being able to support it with the best information that we have available to us at our fingertips. I also know as an entrepreneur, part of my personality is such that I know that because numbers can say whatever you want them to say, part of being an entrepreneur is creating something out of nothing. I believe an entrepreneur will bring together people and resources to collectively solve a problem in the marketplace that people are having and get paid for solving that problem. And when you create something out of nothing, it's hard to look at the things that exist and use them as your guiding light. And so I tend to sort of push back on doing too much market research and trying to come up with kind of fit the box numbers, because when you're trying to find new territory, or you're trying to find, if you've ever read the book Blue Ocean Strategy, it came out several years ago and was very, very popular. It's hard to find blue water. And so if you're looking to find blue water, you're looking to find a market that hasn't been found before, or hasn't been hasn't had a business built inside of it the way you're trying to do it, it can be hard. It can be frustrating for me to look at kind of industry information and try to bend it and form it to fit the narrative that I'm trying to tell, as opposed to just hitting the ground and doing it. And so it was good. I'm excited to see how this happens. I've never been a part of creating something and giving it to other people who can manage it better than I can. I've generally been either in the driver's seat or working right beside someone to turn around a business, fix a business, take an idea, extract the most value from it. But in this particular context, we're going to be looking to take a service to the mass market, and I don't have any experience in doing that, and so I'm excited to see how this all comes together. So that's an update for you. Ondiwork.com is the name of the website. We are now 90 days sort of through the testing of it. The basic idea works with kind of all of the parts that needed to be included. We have run dozens and dozens and dozens of transactions through the platform, so we're very excited about that, and we'll see what happens. I'll keep providing you updates on this weekly podcast so that you can follow along and learn as I learn. But sometimes you have to get people involved that are better at doing a job function than you might be. And I for sure don't have any experience in scaling an idea, and I'm eager to see what it looks like when I can support someone who does have experience scaling an idea and might be try to keep my pride and my ego in check, but I really want to come alongside this team and help them do the best job that they can and make sure that we get the right people involved. And so we'll see where that goes. So stay tuned. Keep downloading my weekly podcast or the vlog to get an update on that. And what else can I share? I won't go through tweets today. I do have some I wanted to talk about, but I kind of want to get into this conversation about cash because it is fresh, sort of top of mind right now. I just came from a conversation with a colleague, and we were talking about business, and this exact topic came up again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen. If you're on the podcast, you won't be able to see what's on my screen, but it's the cash flow quadrant. So if you go to my website, you can look at the cash flow quadrant. And today I'm going to be focusing on businesses that move from struggling to adjusting. So what does that mean? It means they have negative net profit, but they have cash in the bank. And so as you move your way through the quadrant from left to right, top right to top left, this is a business that has either has moved backwards. They were growing and now they've moved backwards and they are adjusting, or they were a struggling business and now they are adjusting because they figured out how to solve the problems in their business. But either way, a business is in a position where they have negative net profit but cash in the bank. So they are either using up their accounts receivable, or they have assets that they have sold, and so there's cash in the bank. But when you look at the profit and loss statement for the business, there really is no profit being generated whatsoever. So what does a business do in this particular case? I have written some blog posts. I've talked about this before, but one of the things that entrepreneurs must know about cash is that cash in the bank does not mean that you are profitable. So if we just take a step back and remember how business finance works, you have a balance sheet, which tells you what you own and what you owe and how much equity there is in the business. Just like a personal net worth statement. I own a home, I have a mortgage. The difference between the value of my home and the mortgage is my equity. So a balance sheet in a business works the same way. The profit and loss statement says, what do you earn, what do you spend, and what's left? So that's your revenue minus your expenses equals your profit. Your profit is then used to purchase assets or pay down liabilities. So that's how the two financial statements connect with each other. So when you see that on your balance sheet, you go to your checking account and you go, look, I got tons of cash in the bank. But then you look at your profit and loss statement and you're showing that you have no profit. You have to ask yourself the question, well, where is the cash coming from? Generally speaking, the cash comes from having an excess amount of receivables, over payables, or maybe you got rid of some inventory, maybe you got rid of some equipment, or you might have taken in cash from an investor or from a lender. But cash in the bank without having profit on your P&L is a huge flag as an entrepreneur that you need to be paying attention to. In my experience, and literally my experience because I have done this, I have looked at my bank account and have seen money in the bank and have not bothered to really kind of understand, but am I profitable? You know, my bank reconciliations were a couple months behind. I never really understood what my balance sheet was telling me anyway until everything hit the wall. And then I began to understand firsthand how I missed some of the early warning signs and what that meant. And the reason I had cash in the bank is because we were collecting on our receivables, but at the same time, I was also taking money in from business partners, and we were looking to grow the business, but I didn't really have a strategy. And so over time, you can only run your business at a loss for so long before you start eating into that cash. And ultimately, when the cash runs out and your business isn't profitable, now you're back in the struggling square. So if I just put that back up on the screen here, if you have no cash in the bank and you've got negative net profit, that's a business that needs to really consider, do we even have a business here? What would it take to make us profitable? And on a different episode, you can see how I break that down. But for purposes of today, what I'm trying to get across is that cash in the bank does not necessarily mean your business is profitable. So what is it that you really need to focus on then if you happen to find yourself in a position where we have cash in the bank, things look good from a bank account perspective, but our profit and loss statement, we keep running it and it keeps showing a loss. So first thing to do is just make sure your records are up to date, because it's hard to have this conversation if you don't have your records up to date. But the first thing to figure out is write down a list of reasons why your business isn't profitable, and don't either do this by yourself so that you're not embarrassed, or find someone that you trust and just someone that you can talk this through. And I'll put my hand in the air because I have done this a couple of times. So if you want someone to talk to that isn't going to make fun of you, who has personally had to do this, get in touch with me and let's talk through this together. But the first thing you got to figure out is why is the business not profitable? And list out every reason that you can think of and then rank them in kind of order of priority. So one of the reasons your business might not be profitable is you might not be generating enough revenue to cover your expenses. You might then decide that we have expenses that we're paying for that don't really help us make more revenue, and so we need to take a look at that. You might take a holistic view of the business and say that the product or the service that we offer was relevant at one point in history and is now no longer relevant, and so do we need to change our product or our service offering? Maybe you say to yourself, you know what, I've been an absentee owner. If you listen to either last week's episode or the week before, as an owner, I've been riding on the glory days of yesterday, and over time, the business has atrophied because I haven't figured out a way to be more innovative or more creative or understand how our business can be a market leader. So we have fallen from being in the top of the market to being in the bottom end of the market and struggling and fighting like everybody else just to hang on to our margins. So maybe I'm part of the problem. So as you list out these reasons, and if you're honest about it and can do it at arm's length from your own ego and your own pride, you'll start to understand what picture is being painted in your business right now. Why does it look the way it looked? Maybe you lost some big customers, but you didn't, when you lost those customers, you didn't adjust your expenses accordingly because maybe you thought we're just going to get new customers and so we'll be able to cover all those expenses. But be honest with yourself, take the time, make the list, and then prioritize it in terms of most important to least important. An example might be most important, we lost a few customers, we didn't adjust our expenses, and so we got to go find a new big customer. To least important, which might be, you know what, we've got these online web subscriptions to all of these services, I don't even know the last time we used them, we need to start saving $19.99 a month. So top to bottom, what are all of the reasons that your business is not profitable? Because presumably, if you have cash in the bank and your business is not profitable, at one time, it most likely was profitable, which means there is a business to, if you kind of work through all the rubble and get through all of the challenges, there's probably a good business underneath everything, but someone's got to put some time and effort into figuring out what's it going to take to do that. So the first thing you do is say, why is our business not profitable? Used to be, it's not anymore. Here's a priority list. Then the next thing you need to do is to say, okay, well, what do we need to do to correct what went wrong? Businesses don't become unprofitable by accident. Usually there are a series of decisions that were made either intentionally or unintentionally that forces a business into the position where it's no longer profitable. So then you got to start kind of playing back the timeline in your head, and you've got your reasons of why your business isn't profitable from most important to least important. But now what you're looking to do is really develop a timeline of what happened. And at one point the business was profitable, or I'm assuming for purposes of this that it was. So as you work backwards and try to figure out what significant decisions did we make, or what insignificant decisions did we make that all collectively resulted in us ending up here. What do we need to do now to correct what went wrong? For me, I ended up taking on a retail lease for a very large space and filled it with a lot of people because the market was on fire and I needed somewhere to put our team to have them work. I did that. Thank God I did it on a shorter lease period. So I had taken over a lease from another tenant. But one of the things that went wrong was, or one of the things that attributed to us not being profitable was the amount of rent we were paying. And as I worked back through the timeline, the reason we were paying that much rent was because I had anticipated that the market was going to continue to be very strong. That was me not doing my homework. I had anticipated the market was going to be really strong, that we would need something to continue to grow into. And I was right for about a year. And then the market crashed. Then I was stuck with this big office space and I had to figure out what I was going to do next. So what did I need to do to correct what went wrong? I had to get rid of that lease. And so that's what I did. We had a team of admin people. I no longer needed a team of admin people. So in terms of why we were unprofitable, our overhead was too high. Our overhead was too high because I had hired people to keep up with the anticipated volume that only came for a short period of time. So what did I need to do to correct what went wrong? Unfortunately, I had to lay off the people that I had brought on. So as you can see what I'm doing here, you sort of figure out why weren't you profitable, then you figure out a timeline of what went wrong, and then it helps you kind of work through, well, what decisions do I need to make now to get our business back to profitability? And in my case, I had to adjust our product and service offering as well. We had done a couple of different services, and I had carved it right back, had gotten entirely out of one line of business, had focused and doubled down on another line of business because the house was on fire, so to speak, and I had to generate revenue, and this was the only way I knew how to do it. So again, I've been intimate with having to work through all of this. So if you're a business right now that finds yourself in that adjusting square, so your business was either growing at one time like mine and you slide back into the adjusting quadrant, or your business was struggling and you were able to move it out of struggling into adjusting, come and chat with me, find a way to get a hold of me, because I have guaranteed, I guarantee you I have made all of the mistakes or many of them. And if it helps talking to someone who has made them so that you don't make them or that you're aware of them, give me a jingle. So once you figure out what went wrong, then you figure out what needs to happen in order to correct what went wrong. Then you got to figure out how long is it going to take? Do we need a year to do this? Do we need 6 months to do this? Do we need 9 months? As we put our task list together of why we're not profitable, as we work through what we need to do to return to profitability, then the next thing we need to figure out is how long is it going to take? And the reason why that is important is because in this quadrant, the business has cash in the bank, but they're not profitable. Because every business has a burn rate, there's an amount of money being spent every day and every week and every month to keep the business going. That cash in the bank will not last forever. So you have to put a timeline together to say, how much runway do we have to make the adjustments that we need to make? Why aren't we profitable? What do we need to change? How long is it going to take to do that? And then once you put a timeline to that, the next thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to say, okay, now what resources do we have to work with? And what resources are we going to need? In my example, what resources do we have to work with? We still had technology. We had a customer database. We didn't let go of every person on our team. We simply kept the people on our team that were able to directly attribute their time to the revenue that our business was earning. What resources did I need? Well, I now needed to solve some problems because a lot of the business that we had done relied heavily on pushing paper around. Documentation, we were a commercial, a residential mortgage brokerage, also funding private mortgages with a pool of investors. So just an enormous amount of paperwork. So what resources did I need? Well, I needed to figure out how do we still manage a high volume of paperwork and admin work without having an admin team. And that's where I built some customized software. I took advantage of some technology in the marketplace, like high-speed scanners, which were just coming online, but I was able to grab them. And we simply were able to do more with less, whereas in history, I had simply looked to do more with more. And that was one of the reasons why we were not profitable. So if you kind of follow along what's going on here, what went wrong, what needs to happen to correct what went wrong, how long is it going to take? What resources do we have to work with? What resources do we need? And then in order of priority, what are our next steps? And that's just sort of a common a common takeaway that you would have in any business decision that you're making? Kind of what are the next steps? Where do we need to go from here? So as an entrepreneur, if you have cash in the bank, make sure you drill down to understand, okay, is that cash in the bank coming from the profits of our business, or is that cash in the bank because something else has gone on? We've taken loan proceeds, we have taken on investment, we've sold some equipment, we've sold some inventory, we're starting to drain and draw down on our accounts receivable. Where is that cash coming from if it's not coming from the profits of the business? And then once you've determined that, then you just work through the steps like we just talked about, right? You just start listing out what went wrong, why aren't we profitable? What needs to be corrected in order to return to profitability? How long is it going to take? What do we have to work with? And then, in order of priority, what are our next steps? So this is something that has served me very, very well. I sort of developed this line of thinking through just having to duke it out every day in my own businesses. And I'm an individual who learns by having to work these things out for myself in real time. I mean, I can read books and I can watch videos, but honestly, I just had to work through them. And so as you sort of replay today's podcast, as you think about the cash in your business as an entrepreneur, the first thing you have to do is figure out where you are on the quadrant. And if you happen to fit into the adjusting quadrant where your business has cash in the bank, but it's not profitable, then here's a roadmap. Here are some very specific things you can do to get your business back up into the next quadrant, which is a growth quadrant. And growth might look different. Your business may have started one way, and it may end up a different way. That's the best part about business, is that it is always changing and it's always moving and it's always dynamic. And there are always interesting things happening with competitors that should encourage you to get up every day and figure out how you can go and compete and win in your marketplace. But having a handle on your cash, where it came from, why you're not profitable, is really important. And if you're an entrepreneur that's going to put your head in the sand and ignore that, then you end up moving into the struggling quadrant where now you're having a very different conversation. And that conversation sounds a little bit more like, do we even have a business anymore? You don't want to go there. If you've got cash in the bank, but you're not profitable, presumably at one time you were, you have to figure out what went wrong and how do we get back there? What's going to be required? And hopefully, what I've discussed on today's episode helps you get there. Hopefully, it helps give you some things to think about, but it also gives you some very specific tactics that I personally use all the time to understand what do I need to be doing to get my businesses as profitable as possible, to make the market leaders so that I can ultimately build something that is valuable. So, thank you for tuning in. I trust that you found this time worthwhile and meaningful. And reach out to me, like the video, hit the little bell, subscribe, put a rating on the podcast. That'd be great because then it gets into the ears of other entrepreneurs that might be struggling with the same thing. I do this to hear myself talk and work out my own thinking, but I also do it to meet other entrepreneurs. And I'd love to meet you. I'd love to learn about your business and share ideas, share thoughts, because at the end of the day, we're all in this together. Nobody has it figured out. Nobody has it figured out, even though some people seem like they do. Business is constantly shifting and moving, and the best thing that you can do is be part of a community of other people that are trying to do the same thing. And that's what I'm looking to do with this podcast. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.